Severino's ready, and the pitch. Harper swings, drives it high and deep center field. Bader going back to the track, looking up, and it's gone off the batter's eye. Two-run home run for Bryce Harper. Straightaway center field. And there's life back in the joint as the Phillies trail by a run. It's 3-2.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz at Chickie's in South Philly. Join us today and every Monday at 6 for the Brandon Graham Show. Chickie's and Pete's, the official sports bar of the Philadelphia Eagles. The other thing about Harper home run is as he crossed home plate, you could tell by his reaction that he knew the team needed it, but he also knew that the fans needed it too. You know, the fans, there's some criticism. I heard it from a couple of my Met fan friends. Wow, it's awfully quiet in there. It's like, they've sucked for two straight games offensively. You can't. It's very difficult to ask the fans, what are they even making noise for at that point? And I think you saw after that home run, not only did the Phillies loosen up a little bit, I thought the fans loosened up a little bit and thought to themselves, okay, we can win this game now. And it felt like the environment that you guys were telling me about in that last few innings of that game.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, the home run, it was so important. Like, his at-bat, I understand what Cassidy did after that. I understand what Stott did after that. That was a true team win from an offensive standpoint yesterday. But it was Bryce's home run that really lit the stadium. Like, it brought the energy back into the stadium, which brings it back into the clubhouse. They had been waiting for something. We hadn't heard the crowd since Schwarber hit his home run in his first at-bat the day before. And that's a long time to go when you're so excited for this baseball team. And you've been waiting for this team to get to the postseason seemingly all year long. We've been waiting for them to get to October. And that first game was very disappointing. It was a punch in the gut. And to come out to start the game off the way they did yesterday from an offensive standpoint, it just didn't feel good. And so, yeah, I'm sure it did feel like everybody could have exhaled. At that point, and thank God they did, because listen, the Mets aren't going away.
No,
they just wouldn't go away yesterday.
No, I said on tour the other, they're like Michael Myers in a Halloween movie. It's like, oh, you killed him, and then you look away, and he's just walking at you again. You don't know what happened. All right, 215-592-9494. What is your confidence level in the Phillies for the rest of this Mets series? So I said before the break that we had an amazing montage from Joe Wechter, one of the members of the WIP Morning Show. Of course, it's John Ritchie, James Seltzer, Rhea Hughes, Devin Caney, Joe Wechter.
Right.
Right.
And his mic also does not work.
Who, Joe's?
Yes.
Yeah, but in fairness, Joe's mic hasn't worked in 30 years.
30 years. It's true.
Yeah. His mic comes out. When you hear other people talk occasionally, that is Joe's. That is the glory of Joe.
Yeah.
But he put together an awesome.
Like a ventriloquist.
Yes, a little bit. A little bit of like a ventriloquist. So he put together an awesome montage of the highlights from yesterday's game. We thought you would enjoy it. Here it is.
Game two. It is Mets and Phillies in their first ever postseason series. The Mets trying to head back to Queens with a 2-0 lead. The Phillies trying to bounce back and come away with a split.
Two worlds collide, rival nations.
Lined up the middle, and there is a leaping grab by Stott. Oh, wow, what a play by Bryson Stott. That ball was bound for center field, and Bryson takes a hit away. Ground ball right side. Harper lays out. He gloves it, gets up, steps on the bag, and great glove work. Harper chucks it into the third deck on the first base side.
First pitch on the way. It's swung on, hit in the air to right. It's pretty well hit. Going back on it, Castellanos to the track at the wall. It's gone. And Mark Vientos now has a double and a homer, and the Mets have a 2-0 lead.
Here's the pitch to Castellanos. Another sweeper cut on a missed. It's 0-2. Oh, and now we got some boos coming around the stadium. Swing at a ground ball, softly left side. Charging Lindor, throws to first in time. A little frustration from the Phils fans.
Yep, and the 1-2 pitch. Swing and a fly ball to right. It's deep. Back is Castellanos at the track, looking up, and it's gone. Opposite field home run for Pete Alonso. And it's 3-0 New York. Severino's ready, and the pitch. Harper swings, drives it high and deep center field. Bader going back to the track, looking up, and it's gone off the batter's eye. Two-run home run for Bryce Harper. And there's life back in the joint
as the Phillies trail by a run. It's 3-2. Breaking ball blasted. Game is tied. Castellanos way back to left center. Back to back for the Phillies. And it's a brand new game. 3-3 here in the bottom of the sixth.
You know, to get on the board and get the crowd back in it. And then I thought our bats got a lot better.
Ball hit in the air to right. It's deep. Castellanos back, turns, looks, it's gone. And the Mets are back in front. Just like that, a line drive home run by Brandon Nimmo. 4-3 New York.
It's a gutter war. No holds barred. Hockey may be on the receiving end so far, but he's here to fight.
I mean, I thought both teams, man, punch for punch. I said it to the guys. I said, Rocky would be proud. You know, never die mentality, man.
Stretch in the 0-1. Swung on, line down the right field line. That is going to be a fair ball. Harper around second. He's heading for third. He'll make it there without a throw. Castellanos with his second hit of the day. And the Phils in business here in the bottom of the eighth. Tying run is 90 feet away. Bryson Stott, the birthday boy, coming up now. Diaz goes full with Stott. The 3-2 on the way. Swung on, line down the right field line. It's fair. Just inside the line. The game's tied. Castellanos into third. Dusty is waving him home. Here's the relay to the plate. There'll be no throw. Phillies lead it as the birthday boy, Bryson Stott, puts the Phillies on top 5-4.
After I got to third, kind of settled down for a second and just tried to keep myself calm so I didn't do anything dumb.
Man gonna chop. Runners coming home. Vientos drops it. It's 6-4 Phillies. Big insurance run.
Huge.
Swung on, hit high in the air, left center field. Hayes going back towards the alleyway, at the track, at the wall. It's gone. Yeah. A two-run home run that ties the game here in the top of the ninth. It's 6-6.
And there's no stopping it now. Don't stop it now. We're starting, we don't stop. All your strength, all your power, all your love, everything you've got, when you got to knock him out. The whole life is.
The Phillies, during the regular season this year, enjoyed 10 walk-off wins, and Nick Castellanos delivered the winning hit in four of them. At one ball, two strikes, looks back at second, the pitch. Swung on, line down the left field line, and that's going to win it. Castellanos has done it. Turner is scoring, and the Phillies walk it off here at the bottom of the ninth. A game two victory, 7-6, as the Phillies come racing out of the dugout. Dancing around between first and second as Nick Castellanos has won the ball game. 7-6 the final. The Phillies win it. And Mr. Walkoff delivers again.
Let's go win this thing. Come on, guys. Let's go win this thing. And I don't know if you heard it, but and I was at the game, so I didn't hear it happen. But after Fransky's call of the win, him getting choked up as Castellanos went over and celebrated with Liam. You know, Scott lost his dad recently, and him getting choked up talking about it. You know, I think one of the most amazing things about sports is moments like that and getting emotional over moments like that and connecting them back to your life. And I'm sure on some level Scott was connecting that back to his life. But it was, you know, Casty who can make you want to strangle him sometimes. You see him go over with his son. It's a cool moment. I thought it was a really cool moment.
Oh, yeah. We've gotten to appreciate and know this relationship with he and Liam since Cassie has gotten here. Yep. His offensive surge is usually coincide with Liam being out of school and up here in Philadelphia. So it was great to see him up here for the postseason. Yeah, and you're right. I think a lot of us can identify with how sports, with your parents, particularly your dad, but I don't want to forget about the moms because there are so many moms out there who are great sports moms as well, but just with your parents can sort of take you back to your childhood and introduce you to when you first fell in love with sports, with the game. And so I know Scott losing his dad, it's still fresh to him. And stuff like this will always have that sort of everlasting impact. And I was just, you got a feel for Scott. And listen, being vulnerable and real in that moment, that's what makes us love Scott Fransky the way that we do.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, there's a feeling from our booth. They're not just good at their job, but you can tell that they're feeling.
They're
the
like
game.
Family members too,
for sure.
Yeah,
you know. So you and that's not to take anything away from Uncle Merle, but he and Mike, you know, they call 17 games a year. So in the 17 weeks out of the season, excluding the playoffs, baseball is every night.
Well, it's you're like night, living
like
with
six,
those
seven
guys.
Months, yes. Yep.
And I loved because I think you heard L.A. in the background of the Vientos home run. It was like a...
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know L.A. can't.
No, he can't.
He can't control his way. He tries. He's in
a motor.
Yeah.
As good as they are, just a terrible performance from them both on the show here last Thursday that I will never let them forget, you know, as we...
Hold them accountable.
Yeah, well, we had a huge announcement. We'll be the home of the Phillies for years to come. I asked them what they thought, and they stared at me. So I'm never forgetting that one.
They said, that's cool.
Yeah, I guess. They didn't even say that.
No, not even that.
Yeah, I would have loved if they said that.
And then they tried to pick himself up at the end.
Nah, it was too late.
Wasn't going to let that happen.
Too late.
Me and Spike, this city's in trouble.
Yeah.
In terms of accountability, we saw with Corey and Columbus.
Yep.
Oh, there's a Jack Fritz cutout.
There we go. We'll get to that. I needed
was
that. Yes.
15 pounds ago.
Yep.
15 pounds ago.
The head looks like the right size.
Well, I got a big head.
Yeah. 215.
Especially around playoff time.
215-592-9494. Paul in Woodland. You're on WIP. What's up, Paul?
Yo, what's up? Spike, Jack. Yo, them boys got their mojo back. I think they got their mojo back. They just need to seat ourselves, get that win, and I think it's going from here. But I totally agree with you about that Bryce Harper walk. That was the moment for me in the game, you know, just for the fact that he was willing to pass the bat, you know what I mean? Like, in future times, he'll try to make something happen. And I'm just glad that they had a... Castellanos bomb, because if it was bomb, I think he probably still would have tried to make something happen the way he was sitting in the back. But that walk was huge, man.
I think it shows
come up all the criticism he had all year. Like, it's either him or Bryce. That's who I want up in big situations. That's just how I feel, because you know he got that clutch thing, five walk off. Like, man, yeah, like.
Well, I think the Paul,
got our mojo back, man. It's time to go.
Paul, I think the other thing is it
are you
shows.
Walking uphill?
It shows. Yeah, he does sound out of breath. It's Dick Morey.
Yeah, Paul Morey.
Yeah, is this Paul Morey?
You know what? I just hopped out the shower. I'm like,
okay.
Listen to us in the shower. Hell yeah!
Listen, man.
Hope your pants are on.
Yep. So
I guess Paul.
I think the other thing that showed was Bryce having trust in Castellanos a little bit
right.
From a teammate perspective.
Yeah.
There's no way. No matter, I don't care what. Thank you for the call, Paul. I don't care what heroics Bryce shows. There's no way they're winning the World Series unless they can get production out of the cleanup hitter. So if they are going to make, they're going to make this switch and have Castellanos in that spot. They need Castellanos to produce, and the other teams are just going to keep pitching around Bryce until Castellanos produces. And yesterday's game was important for a number of ways, but I think Castellanos letting the Mets know, hey, I'm alive here, and this is not a free pass. If you can't just walk Bryce, and then I'm a free pass. Then who knows where Bohm's head's at this point? Mm-hmm. So it's going to be Castellanos in the cleanup spot. And I thought yesterday, Bryce letting Castellanos, showing faith in Castellanos, and say, okay, well, win this game for us, and then Castellanos going doing it was huge.
Well, yeah, I mean, just prior to that, he was getting booed.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So it wasn't like he was hitting prior to that.
No.
So that certainly woke him up. And I think he got, three hits after that? Two hits after that?
Three.
Three hits after that. So, yeah, it was huge. And you need someone there. I mean, that's another brilliant move by Topper.
Sticking with him?
Yeah.
And I mean, because Bohm, again, the whole season has been the four-hitter.
Yeah.
Until the last, like, month and a half. And the numbers say Castellanos should not be the four-hitter.
And I think all of us, I forget what we said, but I said, I don't know about this.
I said, as long as it works. I just said it better work.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now, what's your confidence level in – he doesn't have to go 3-for-5. We get it. But in him being able to stabilize that spot. Is it still kind of up in the air?
Yeah. I love what he did yesterday. But for me to act like all of a sudden he is going to be a contact guy and not chase pitches,
sure,
I think that would just be foolish. But here's the thing. I think if he gets enough cracks at it, he's going to get his fair share of hits too.
Yeah.
So I love the fact that he's not fazed by it. That's the biggest thing. You know how it is, man. Listen, he has to get in that batter's box and grind every at bat. And he wants to produce. He wants to hit. And I'd rather have that guy than the guy who's afraid to take the bat off his shoulder or who's going to give me some sort of weak pop-up. Like, I mean, Baum went up there, he gets his shot, and he swings at the first pitch.
And pops it up.
Are you kidding me?
And that felt like a moment, too. The crowd was basically gave him a standing ovation.
They wanted him.
And it was a clear throwaway at bat for him. He couldn't get out of that batter's box fast enough.
He did not react the way that I would have liked to see him.
I mean, take a deep breath, dude, and take a pitch.
I know.
And if you
take a deep breath.
If you swing at that pitch, you better drill that ball. You know, if you're going to swing at that first pitch, you better hit a double or hit a home run. A weak pop-up to the left side of the infield is not the at-bat they needed at that point.
No.
Not the at-bat they needed.
They need you to go up there and just go straight, get out. So, yeah, I listen, there's something about Castellanos, his personality. I think it's perfect for playing here for him.
I think so. And the funny part about him swinging at those pitches, that at bat, he swung at bad pitches.
Yeah.
He was down 0-2 in that at bat, you know, but I think he was. He was definitely 1-2 at some point. So it's not like Castellanos is going to play like Castellanos plays. He is going to go up there, he's going to swing, and he is going to, you know, He's not going to have – Castellanos isn't the guy that is going to go up there and grind at bats until he puts the ball in play. He's going to get up there and try to hit a ball hard, and that's what he did, you know. So when he is the ultimate – you talk about hot and cold. It's him and Trey in this lineup that I feel like those guys, when they're hot, they're sort of unstoppable. And when they're cold, that the at-bats look worse than anybody else in the lineup.
And listen, we're going to need a JT game. We're going to need a Marsh game, you know, where these guys step up. And, I mean, because that's what happens when these series go long. And they're going to pitch around Bryce Harper. So Bryce is going to have to be patient and wait for him to get his pitch to hit. But for the most part, they aren't going to give him anything to hit. So it's going to be the other guys that have to really do it.
Coming up next, he can't stop himself from coming through in big moments, and Bryce Harper can also not stop himself from pandering. We'll have the latest episode from Bryce next.
That was a good one yesterday, though.
It was unbelievable.
We're at Chickies and Pizza South Philly, pregame, in-game, postgame. Chickies and Pizza is your destination for the Eagles and postseason baseball online at chickiesandpizza.com. What is your confidence level with the Phillies the rest of the series? 215-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
0-1. Breaking ball blasted. Game is tied. Castellanos way back to left center. Back to back for the Phillies, and it's a brand new game, 3-3 here in the bottom of the sixth.
It's a WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickies in South Philly, pregame, in-game, postgame. Chickies and Pete's is your destination for the Eagles and postseason baseball. Online at chickiesandpete's.com. The Twitter question is sponsored by Mark's Jewelers. Our baseball team is chasing a championship ring. Make her feel like a world champion every day with a ring from Mark's. Online at marks-jewelers.com. The question, after the win yesterday, what is your confidence level in the Phillies winning the series against the Mets? Pretty confident at 51%, still not confident at 34%, and very confident at 15%.
Man, it's gone down?
Yeah.
Well, what went up?
I think it was 16% to start the show.
No, I know, but what went up?
Oh.
Somebody gained a percent?
Yeah, they're still not confident.
Still not confident,
yeah,
people.
Yeah, gained a percent.
Real quick, shout out to all the Philly fans who showed up this weekend.
Oh, yeah. And didn't sell their tickets.
Didn't sell tickets. Stadium was nowhere near being taken over by Mets fans this weekend. I didn't even see many Mets jerseys. I saw a few. But we've been down there when New York comes to town, whether it's the Mets or the Yankees, right? And we've seen what can happen from the outside. And I got to say, I was pretty impressed being in the building Saturday. You were there yesterday, Spike. Jack, you were down there for both games. But I was there Saturday, and, man, I think I may have seen five, maybe 10 at the most.
Well, and I think a
scattered, like, and the majority of them was the standing room only people.
Like standing room only, I feel like there's more Mets fans because obviously the tickets are way more expensive and they just want to be in the building. So even on the Alonso home runs, you didn't really hear it around the ballpark.
Let's be honest. Mets fans don't even go to their own stadium.
Yeah.
And
dude,
I
Nimmo was begging them to come last week.
They talk such a big game, Mets fans. Oh, we're going to take over your stadium. We're going to take it. And we were all afraid of it, rightly afraid of it. I didn't want to see it. Mm-hmm. But here's who we saw it with. We saw it with the Knicks, who everyone in New York loves. Mm-hmm. We saw it with the Yankees, who are the big boys in town. And we didn't see it with the Mets, and it's not surprising because they have a dollar store fan base and who barely go to Citi Field for games anyway. And to think that they were going to come to Philadelphia and spend $300 for a ticket on a team that they don't spend $15 to see during the regular season. And it's not like they've been good since June.
Right.
They've been good since June.
You've had plenty of time to get on board.
They have a high-profile owner. They have the biggest payroll in baseball. They have a guy who is going to be the runner-up for MVP this year. Mm-hmm. So, and they don't even go to their own stadium. So shame on me for thinking that Mets fans were going to come and take over Citizens Bank Park. But to your original point, I give credit to Phillies fans who look like they made a real effort not only to just go to the game, but if they were going to sell the tickets, sell them to another Phillies fan rather than just throwing them online to sell them.
Let me ask you this real quick, Spike, because it was your first experience, right, since the World Series teams back in?
Yes. Last playoff game I was at was 2010 or 2011.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, you got a good one yesterday.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, boy, I did. You got an all-timer yesterday.
I haven't seen Spike smile that much in 7 years.
Yeah,
and you got an all-timer yesterday, brother.
It was an all-time game, and I'm glad that Jack just vouched for me there because I think there is – because of how I present my sports opinions, I think sometimes people think that I don't get any joy out of it.
Yeah, we don't hear enough joy out of you.
I know, but yesterday there was – a lot of joy. I was punching strangers. I was hugging strangers. I was very into that game, and it was a – man, that game yesterday was everything that you like about sports. It is the back and forth, the going from dread to elation.
Yeah.
The elation doesn't feel quite as great unless the dread came right before
it. It usually does.
Yes, and there was a lot of dread yesterday, but I thought the fans were great, but it was great to be in the building, and it was a game that I'm always going to remember having been at. That
man,
game, yeah.
Reminds me of game one in Houston.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was
game one in Houston, but honestly, the park, Jack. I mean, you're down there for the majority of these. I wish I could be you. You know what I mean?
What does that mean?
Well, a psychopath?
No, I mean, you're down there for all the games. You don't miss anything because you're working.
Yeah, yeah.
You're working, so you're down there for the ending of these games. So you get the tough losses.
Oh, yeah.
But you've also experienced, man,
dude,
some great moments. Like, you've gotten to experience those moments in the park. I'm watching it on TV.
Sure, sure.
You guys are in the park.
Yeah, and it's I didn't get to go to any of the playoff games from 07 to 11, mm-hmm. which I
wasn't like this.
I still don't think so. And
no.
My biggest fear with yesterday, and I felt it in like the fourth inning, was like, is the CBP magic just done? Like, is that is that in the past
where it came back?
Where the jungle is no longer the jungle? And you felt it after the Harper home run of, okay, like they wanted to step on a throat yesterday.
Yeah.
You know what the difference between the 07 and 11 and now is? Now they're chasing it. The 07 to 11 teams, there was just, they won in 08.
They won it so quick.
So quickly.
Yes.
And everything was about expectations. They were in the mode that it was a combination of expectations and already did it. And we know how it felt talking about the Eagles after they won the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. It was great, but there was this edge.
We went right back to back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the thing that the Phillies crowds have now is that chase, is the expectation that we could get another one. And it's been long enough to where the joy of 08 has worn off five times over.
Oh, yeah, it's worn off. Yeah, yeah.
Has worn off five times over.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just – Red October is the best. And in a game like yesterday, first off, it made me want to listen to WIP for 24 hours. Like,
of course.
Hearing the jubilation in people's voices, like – it can be a month of this if they just take care of business. If they take care of business, split, and then take game five. I mean, game five is a chance to be like one of the tightest games we've seen in the history of the city.
Oh, yeah. Well, the the you want to talk elation. Listening to Jack and Seltzer do the
post-game show.
Yeah, it was like, you ever listen to a podcast on like 1.75 speed or double speed? Jack and James just go, like they were like racing each other to get to talk to each moment. I was like, and I could feel Jack going, come on, James, shut up. Let me.
Well, yeah, I mean, you try keeping up with him. It's like a hamster on a wheel. I mean, that's like doing a show with Seltzer. Plus, he's shaking the entire booth.
Oh, dude, the shaking.
I know. It's hard to sit there.
I every time I'm a leg shaker, yeah. Every time I'll start doing that at home on the couch, my wife will look at me and go, please stop it. And I can never understand why. I'll say to her, this is just who I am. This is what I do. Then I saw James with the leg shaking yesterday. I thought I would not be able to do what you did with him yesterday.
I leave nauseous every time. And you know what? The last thing Seltzer needs. He has two espresso Starbucks drinks.
Yo,
you don't need two of those.
He came down before the show with two coffees, and I thought to myself, I am getting out of here. Because the one thing I want to see less than James with two beers is James with two coffees. That's the last thing I want.
I need a coffee before the post-game show. Holy cow, kid. Watch the heart.
215-592-9494. By the way, we're at Shickey's, and thank you to Taz for going back to the radio station and getting the Jack Fritz cardboard cutout. Jack, your head is giant on the cardboard cutout. Still not big enough, I don't think.
I heard from sources, a lot of people showed up to get photos with the cutout.
Oh, really?
It was hot in the streets on Saturday and Sunday.
It's here at Shickey's and Pete's if you want to meet the Jack Fritz cardboard cutout.
If someone comes down specifically to get a photo with that, I think.
Oh, boy. What are you going to promise?
No. Okay. Well, I'm going to promise that they are allowed to be Foxhole guys.
Oh, yeah. Anyone who comes and takes a picture is a Foxhole guy, unless it's a gym stewardess. Jordan in Princeton. You're on WIP. What's up, Jordan?
Gentlemen, I want you to picture the scene. It's 1 in the afternoon on a gorgeous fall Saturday in the parking lot of Citizens Bank Park. I crack open a fresh cold one with some friends and my son and my friend's son. And I hear from the distance the velvety smooth voice. Who is it? Is it our Lord and Savior? No, it's Ike from a distance in the parking lot. And Ike, I was so glad to meet you before the game. And after you left and headed into the stadium, my friends and I were talking, and we've really got to hand it to you. As a football guy, you sound like you played baseball. Like, you know the team, you know the strategy.
Well, he's been hanging around
with really
me long enough.
It's a pleasure listening to you.
That's true. Oh, thank you, brother. I appreciate that. And I do surround myself with smart people.
Sure.
Yes.
Well, that's good. We always want to be around those that are smarter than us, so no one can determine whether or not we're stupid.
Okay.
Well, I don't know if he's got that here, to be quite honest with you. I don't want to overrate the intelligence around him, but we're certainly here. We're alive, and we talk. So, and then, you know, Jordan.
We make it.
Jordan, one quick thing. I understand what you're saying about Ike and the baseball, but here's something to remember, is that if you took away Ike, almost sometimes I think can get punished by people because he played professional football. And they'll think to themselves, well, he only knows about football. I haven't played professional anything, you know, and people take. So I can tell you, Ike, from my perspective, is a baseball. Like, this guy's from Cincinnati.
Yeah.
He is a
baseball town, USA.
Baseball
talk
guy.
To him.
Yeah. Well, he's been on WIP for 15 years.
Well, hold on. But baseball didn't matter on WIP until, like, what? Between 20.
Well, hold on. I came on. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I came on at the right time. That was 07.
2012 to 2019. Baseball didn't exist.
That's true.
What are you feeling about the series?
Stop talking
Jordan.
About Michael Franco and those guys, man. Yeah.
It's great not to be talking about those guys anymore, I'm sure, for all of your sakes and for mine as well. Yeah, I will say it was an exhausting weekend. I was at both games. Emotions were high. The fans were as good as you could have asked for them. This whole myth of the Mets fans taking over the stadium, there were no Mets fans there. My 8-year-old was looking for more to chirp at. He only found a couple, so it was great walking through the concourse and hearing him go, "Boo Mets!" every time he saw a Mets fan. I think that the series comes down to Aaron Nola's first 30 pitches tomorrow night. I think that if Nola can get out of the first two innings and he's got his command and he knows how to pick his spots, and he can quiet that stadium down a little bit, because these guys are going to be raucous. They have reason to be raucous. It was an unexpected run, and despite all the ads trying to get people to fill seats in the early part of the year when none of the Mets fans showed up, I do think that they're going to show up for this playoff game. So if Knowles can run ice water through his veins and get a couple of strikeouts and keep the ball easy on the ground, and I think we're going to have a really terrific run, and at the very least split it in New York and bring it back home and win it in Game 5 with Wheeler on the mound again.
Appreciate the call for Jordan. It's a huge start for – I mean, obviously, but this is a huge start for Aaron Nola tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, we need good Nola tomorrow.
Yeah, we do, man. And you certainly can't have bad Nola. And I know that sort of sounds obvious, but I don't know if we need 7 innings of what Zach Wheeler gave us Saturday. It'd be nice to get that. But we also can't have, you know, 4 innings, 5 runs. 4 innings, 4 runs. Like, we can't have that either. 3 runs? Listen, you're going to have to score runs to beat this Mets team. You have to score runs. So the idea that you're going to win an Aaron Nola start 2-1, get that out of your head. You better be prepared for a 4-3, 5-3 type of baseball game,
well,
at minimum.
You sign up for 6 innings, 3 runs or less.
Yes, I'll sign up for that.
He has to go 6.
Yes.
With Ranger in Game 4, it's imperative he goes 6.
Yes.
Well, and this, the Phillies should score. This Mets bullpen has
sucks.
To be exhausted.
Yeah.
Forget even about sucking. They have to be exhausted. Mm-hmm. And you could see from Diaz yesterday that I think they have to be spent. The way that they got into the playoffs, then the way the Milwaukee series went, then the fact that they basically had to throw a bullpen game 1, and they were in the bullpen by the 5th inning yesterday, 5th or 6th inning, and they had to use a bunch of pitchers. Their bullpen has to be taxed, and they got to get to Quintana.
Tomorrow's Manaea.
Oh, Manaea. They have to. They just got to work counts and make them throw pitches and get to that bullpen.
And he'll walk you.
Yeah,
Manaea will walk. He's had a really good year. He's bounced around. He's been a reliever, been a starter. He's really kind of broken out this year, but he still is. His command is not great. Like, they got to be They need the bats they had post Bryce.
Yeah, and you could tell Topper has been harping on this approach at the plate, where he wanted them to change their approach. I don't know how many of them did it Saturday. They certainly weren't hitting the ball Saturday, shadows or what have you. But Sunday, you sort of had positive reinforcement.
That it works. Yeah.
If you do it. You talked about Bryce and the walk and trusting the guy behind him. Like, there's the proof. There's the proof right there that if you do it, it works. And so I think they come into these games not trying to win the game or be the hero every at bat, just trying to get on base and then trying to manufacture runs.
And speaking of trusting the guy behind you, it's even more imperative when you start talking about Trey. When Trey is swinging it, balls outside of the zone, and Bryce Harper's up right behind him, that's what'll kill you.
Would you put Bum back in the lineup tomorrow?
Actually, can you hold that thought for 1 second? I just want to talk about the gold standard of where to buy a Hyundai. And then
thank God.
It's a good tease. It's a good tease. We'll talk about Bowman, whether he should be in the lineup, right after I tell you where you're going to get the best experience, the gold standard experience when you go to buy a new vehicle. It's John Ashdale, the Cars Are, and Colonial Hyundai. They make buying a car fast, because they have everything in stock, over 200 vehicles in stock. And if you're worried about what it's going to cost, over 80 of those vehicles are under 30 grand. Financing will be easy, as low as 0% on select 2024s, and they're going to give you more for your trade than anyone. They're consistently recognized for that, at least $6,500 for your trade guaranteed, no matter what condition it's in. Every brand new Hyundai comes with Hyundai Assurance and America's Best Warranty, a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain. Online, 24/7, colonialhyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the faster, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. See dealer for full details. All right, Ike, would you put Bowman back in the lineup tomorrow? Topper already said yesterday before the game that he would be in, for context.
And reconfirmed it today.
Yeah. Would you?
Yeah, I think I would. You're going to need Baum to win, ultimately. Sitting him for the day, putting him in there against a lefty where he should at least be able to help you out. I'm okay with that. I know there's thoughts. Have they decided whether Sosa's going to play second or Stoddy?
Well, that's a question as well, because he was 2-for-4 yesterday. He worked some good at-bats. Do they like him in the 5 spot?
A big defensive play as well.
Yeah, yes. And Sosa's fine defensively.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a better second baseman than he is a third baseman. But I think Sosa's going to start at second base tomorrow against Manaea.
And here's why I would be okay with that. I love what Stott did yesterday. I'm not taking anything away from his moment. Happy birthday, Stottie. Great job yesterday on your birthday. But this is why managers get paid what they get paid. They're in a position that they're in. They have to manage. And so if you know Stott struggles against lefties, why not put the righty in there? So, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Stott had his moment yesterday. That's great. That's great. That doesn't mean that you go up there and give out four at-bats tomorrow.
Yeah, because you don't want an 0 for 4 to follow up the big game he had yesterday.
Now, he is hitting 280 against the Mets this year. At Citi Field, he's hitting 280. No, it's not.
Stott.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a huge sample size, and he is hitting 223 against lefties this year. So, probably should go so.
On the Bohm thing, I agree with you. I would put him back in as well. I would say, though, I was really disappointed with how he reacted to getting benched. Now, we don't know what he said or what he did, but that at
body bat, language wasn't good.
That at bat was horrible.
Yeah.
And Jack mentioned it earlier, that crowd wanted it for him. And that was set up for him sort of like the Rhys Hoskins home run when he slammed down the bat and, you know, after the crowd had gotten on him. That was a moment for Alec Bohm to, I'm sure he likes his manager, but to say, F you, I deserve to be in the lineup. I get, but I'm here now. And what he did was that, I don't know if you can mope with an at-bat, but it seemed like he moped with that at-bat. And that's not how you want him to handle that.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, I'd put him back in the lineup because I agree with you. They're going to need his production. Because you take him out of the lineup, by the way, he's lost him.
Yeah, he's done.
You've lost him.
You got to put him back in there tomorrow. Yeah. But I just wonder if there's a leash. And what is going to be interesting is if you can get Manaea out of the game, then you get some righties, more righties in the game. That's where you can put Stott back in.
Right.
Yep.
They set up some good platoons yesterday.
Yep.
215-592-9494. Ed in Cherry Hill. You're on WIP. What's up, Ed?
Hey, Spike. How are you?
What's up, Ed?
I have a lot of respect for Thompson as a manager, but I don't like his when he pulls pitchers out too soon. Like Wheeler in the first game. Why didn't he keep him in for another inning?
He didn't pull him
yesterday.
It's 110 pitches.
I thought they were going to call Vince Velasquez back to put him in.
Yesterday was a mistake. I would have let him face Alonso. They were worried about Alonso leading off the next inning, but Chris Sanchez does not traditionally allow home runs. I know he had the Bientos home run. That was a mistake. I don't think the Wheeler one was a mistake. That's 110 pitches.
Okay, but how about yesterday?
I agree with you. Yesterday, he pulled him too early.
This can happen to managers in the playoffs. I think if there's one thing that managers get itchy with, it's because they don't have – this is a big change. Thank you for the call, Ed. This is a big change from the non-DH time because in the non-DH time, there would be these natural points of inflection with a pitcher where you know you have to pinch hit for him because you're down 3-0, it's the sixth inning, you have an opportunity to put runs on the board. But without it, I almost think – managers overthink it in the playoffs and pull starters before they should because they're looking to do something. Sanchez, except for the home run, was good yesterday. He was good. And to get another inning or two out of it, you could probably gotten two innings out of him.
Yeah.
How many pitches had he thrown when
88.
They pulled?
88.
Yeah.
And what's frustrating about that is that Rob Thompson said before the series even started, before the playoffs even started, you know, Sanchez is a guy that gets better as the game goes on. And I thought he kind of trusted him more. And yesterday kind of showed to me that he still doesn't have total trust in Chris Sanchez.
And more proof that if you rewatch the game, that he was getting better as the game went on. Early in the game, Chris Sanchez does not give up a lot of fly balls. They were hitting fly balls early in the game, and then it just stopped eventually. And Chris Sanchez is a guy that will allow guys on base, but because he throws so many ground balls, he'll get out of that. And I thought as the game went on, he was keeping the ball down, and I thought he was good. But, you know, it is what it is. They won the game. And I agree with you. Wheeler, if it was the seventh game of the World Series or something and you had Zach Wheeler, but we're going to need Wheeler another start in this series.
And hopefully deeper.
Yeah. 111 pitches, 112 pitches. How many you want him to throw? 130, you know, well, and cook them. He's 35 years old.
Well, and he was great. He also walked four guys. He didn't have the command that he usually had. He was in some dirty innings and some high stress innings, as they say.
Yes, they were.
So he got them out there at a right time. You have to trust Hoffman and Strom, the two All Stars. The ERAs were like two this year. they got to get the job done.
Yeah, they got burned by their two best guys. And Ike, you had said it. I thought you were crazy when you said you were worried about the bullpen. The only guy I was worried about was Estevez. The last thing I was worried about was Hoffman and Strom giving up a lead. I mean, my worry in game one was that I texted you guys that okay, Hoffman will get through this inning. I was worried they were going to put Estevez in the ninth inning. Estevez was going to blow it in game one. I had no thought that Hoffman would blow that game.
And me either, really. I really was more or less worried about the lesser effective pitchers in the bullpen. Strom and Hoffman weren't necessarily at the top of my list as far as that go. But there's something about late in these games where we've had these, even when they've come back and won some of these games during the regular season, where they've gotten hit. And I'm just like, if anything is going to hurt us, it's going to be that.
And it has twice.
Well,
you know,
and it's something that has to change because that's a clear advantage the Phillies have over this Mets team.
Is the bullpen.
Whoever bullpen is better the next three games could flip the series.
215-592-9494. What is your confidence level on the Phillies, the rest of the series? Alec Bohm, it was announced today, will be back at third base. We are at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly, pregame, in-game, or post-game. Chickies and Pete's is your destination for the Eagles and postseason baseball. Online at chickiesandpetes.com. Coming up next, I promised you the Bryce Harper elite pandering. He is elite at a lot of things, and pandering is one of them. So he had one of those moments yesterday. And Ruben Amaro expresses some confidence in the Phillies bullpen and why he thought they haven't pitched well. We will give you both of those things to you next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.